Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It is great to be with you once again. In case you forgot, I wasn't here last week, but it's good to be back with you. I want you to have in your mind today, what do you think of when you hear about the glory of God? What comes to mind for you? I want you to hold on to some images, and as we go throughout the rest of the service, we'll be talking more about the glory of God and how we are all a part of being that. It is something that we should be able to visualize and be able to experience. So I invite you into that space this morning. Let's turn to our announcements. There are quite a few in here. I'm not going to go through each and every one of them. As always, look at the calendar on the one side and review, see where you might be needed to be this week. Today is World Communion Sunday, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that as we go, but there is a special offering that goes along with our World Communion Sunday experience of across the globe. Christian community is coming together around the table. The United Methodist Church has called upon this time to be a time when we gather together and support of gathering funds for scholarships for the diversity of our globe, and helping people that have a harder time of getting a chance to have a college experience to be able to do that. So we're collecting that. So if you want to participate in that offering, put it in this envelope, and we will be able to take that accordingly. Also, if you look at our announcements, we have a gathering for the church together at the Skaggs home. It's going to be a hayride and cookout, and that is on October 20th, so put that on your calendar. Let's see how many folks we can get together to enjoy being together in this fall season. The men's and women's groups are coming up. Make sure you note that. The college crew care packages, there's a basket out on your way out. You'll see it on your right. If you want to bring some things in, different snacks or gift cards or just whatever, those kinds of things, and just put it in the basket, that'll make sure that gets to our students. Also, you can just provide donations and write in there for the college crew, and we'll make sure that that gets used to get those baskets full. Hospitality time, there are sign-ups out there. We want to encourage as many different kinds of people to actually participate in that, because you know that old saying about the more people you have doing things, the less work it is. So let's see if we can get a lot of people involved with that. Also coming up on November 2nd, instead of the bazaar this year, we're going to be doing a meal for missions on November 2nd for the fish pantry. It's going to be by donation. So if you want to be a part of that, there is reservations needed just so they make sure they have the right amount of food for that. So with that, let us prepare for worship as we receive the prelude. Thank you.
Good morning. Would you stand and join me in the call to worship? Jesus reflects God's glory. Jesus sustains all things by his power. Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. Praise Jesus, in whom we place our trust. Our opening hymn today is My Hope is Built. You'll find it in your hymnal on page 368. We will be singing verses 1, 3, and 4. The words are also on the screen. Be seated. Will the children come up? Lynn Engel is going to be helping us with our children's message today. Oh, we're going to pray first. And then we'll have the children come up. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, we come to you today. With so many things on our hearts, you call us to be in a relationship of trust and love with you, and you offer transformation to us for those portions of our lives that are unlike you. Help us to be open to your grace and mercy. Amen. Now, children. We had a practice run.
Coming on. That one. Yep. Try again.
Good morning.
There, you go.
There we are. Today is World Communion Sunday, and that was started back in 1933 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so it's almost 100 years old. And when it started, it was called Worldwide Communion Sunday. And now it just got changed to World Communion Sunday. But the important thing is that people all over the world are doing the same thing we are today. They are taking communion. We worship the same God, but we might
sound different. Okay? So, we're going to do something a little different today. You guys don't have to do anything.
Just take it all in.
I'm going to stretch your brain, but you don't have to do anything. Other people have to do something. So, we're going to start with Dr. Delaplane. Hang on just a minute. I changed my mind. You do have to do something. But I will tell you at the end what it is.
You do have to translate for the rest of the church. Got it? Einen wunderschönen Morgen, liebe Freunde in Christus und lieber gute Schüler. Ich lese aus Matthäus 26 bis 29. Während sie aßen, nahm Jesus das Brot, dankte, brach es und gab es seinem Jüngern mit den Worten, nehmt und esst, das ist mein Leib. Dann nahm er einen Kelch, dankte und gab ihn ihnen und sagte, trinkt alle daraus. Das ist mein Blut des Bundes, das für viele vergossen wird zur Vergebung der Sünden. Okay, what did I say?
First of all, you have any idea what language that was in? That wasn't English. No, that was not English.
German.
You are so right. Good job, Ian. Fabulous. And that was Matthew 26:26-28, where Jesus was breaking the bread and giving it to his disciples, and then he gave them the wine. That was the same verse. Are you going to read that one?
No. Okay. But it's part of communion.
It's part of communion. Yeah. And you guys can look it up. Okay, we have another one.
Car toutes les fois que vous mangez ce pain et que vous buvez cette coupe, vous annoncez la mort du Seigneur. Jusqu'à ce qu'il vienne.
Could you translate that into English too?
I'd be happy to. For every time that you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you announce the death of the Lord until he comes back.
Any ideas? That was not in English. No. Any ideas what language that was?
French.
One more.
Yes.
Okay. We have one more.
Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino. Hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Amén.
And I bet if you said the first five words in English, everybody would know what you said.
Our Father who art in heaven.
And that was in Spanish. Yes. So all over the world today, even though people don't speak the same language that we do, they're worshiping God and taking communion. And I don't have Rice Krispies treats for you today. I thought we needed to do something that was a little more in fitting with what we're talking about. And sometimes life can be stressful. I have little balls. They're the world, and they're stress balls.
Do you have enough for everyone?
Actually, so this is funny. I ordered a dozen, and I got a whole box. So if they're going to be out in the narthex, if you feel stress and you need to.
Hopefully by the end of the worship, you won't feel that way.
Well, let's pray really fast. Thank you, God, that we can come together, not only as a church, not only as a community or a city or a state or a nation. We can come together as a world and celebrate communion. And we're so thankful for you. Amen.
Amen.
Our prayer hymn today is One Bread, One Body. You'll find it in your hymnal, page 620. The words will also be on the screen.
As we go into our time of prayer today, we need to keep in mind those that have been devastated by the hurricane, and another one is on its way toward the coast in Florida. So let's keep that in our minds throughout the week. But also I want to invite you, after church today, the ad board is going to be meeting, and we're going to be doing some visioning for how we can really connect with the community. So we need your prayers, and we'll begin that this morning with this time of prayer. Let us pray. God of power, God of mercy, Lord, we call upon you for especially these two characteristics today. When we think about your mercy, O God, we think about how you are grieving all of the devastation that has occurred in our nation. As the storm has come through and left its mark that will not be forgotten. Lord, we ask that your mercy would prevail, that you would be in the midst of all that is happening as you call upon all of those who call on your name to step in the gap. So may you convict us, may you encourage us, may you point us in the right direction to how we might be a part of your mercy. If it just be donations, if it is a matter of prayer, is it a matter of actually going and being present, or inviting those who have been displaced to come. Lord, you know what the need is. Lord, we also call upon your power. Some people think about the devastation that is caused by you. But Lord, we know that your power is used for good. So may we see you, your power in action as people are brought in to help. That it is by your encouragement, by your power that is within each and every person that calls upon your name. Power that you give us through the Holy Spirit that puts us in to places where we would not go. That gives us wisdom that we would not understand. That gives us strength that defies our understanding as well. So we ask that you would use your power as you use your people. And Lord, as we look around our community, we ask for your power and your mercy to be in our midst. As we look to see where you are active and where you are calling us to be, as your church here in this area. So Lord, we just ask for your Spirit to be active today. That you would be inspiring all of the church to be thinking about how we can be a light in the community, a light for the community, a light active with the community. Help us to concentrate on the with, O God, so that we can truly experience community with those around us. So in your power and your mercy, may we be guided to be your people. So let us share with one voice together today the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we are inspired by the Holy Spirit to be the church, we are inspired also to give a portion of what we have been given in order for the church to be as active as it can. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in the prayer of dedication. God of grace and mercy, as we bring our gifts before you today, we remember your infinite love that welcomes everyone, especially the vulnerable and the overlooked. Help us to see and meet the needs around us with open hearts and willing hands, extending your grace and compassion to all. Bless these gifts and use them to further your work in our community and beyond, so everyone may know and feel your love. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for that gift of music. Our scripture reading today is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by this powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are humans that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lesser than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God has left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, as Lynn was sharing, it was in the early 1930s. It was actually the Presbyterian Church introduced this idea of setting aside one specific Sunday a year for Christians across the globe to celebrate Holy Communion, acknowledging our unity in Jesus Christ. Now, our Methodist connection officially joined in this celebration that has become known as World Communion Sunday in 1940. So this tradition, it may be long-standing, but if we are honest, it isn't something that we look forward to or make plans to participate in the sacred meal and communion with our brothers and sisters all over the world. The reality is we need celebrations like World Communion Sunday to remind us that we are connected by faith to billions of people of every color, tongue, culture, continent, country, and denomination. Because it is at our baptism that we profess our faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord and are welcomed into the body of Christ. And every time we gather at the Lord's table, we celebrate the real presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, consider the power and the presence of Christ that is represented in the lives of everyone who calls on His name, that is celebrating Holy Communion this day. What a glorious reality that is. It isn't only when we celebrate communion together that we represent Christ's presence in the world. We have that potential every day, wherever we are. Actually, we were created with the potential to shine the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah shared on behalf of the Lord, saying this: "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Being created for God's glory is our potential. But as we all know, realizing one's potential doesn't always occur for various reasons. Today I want to encourage us all to realize our potential. So how do we become the glory of God? The writer of this letter to the Hebrews wasn't really writing a letter at all, but a message of encouragement in the faith. First to the Jewish Christians who were in many ways weary of all that they were experiencing, and they were having a hard time with their commitment to Jesus. You could say their light was dimmed by the external factors in their lives. But external influences are always a part of our journey. So we can't use them as excuses for our light of God's glory being dim. We must remember who we are and whose we are at all times. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, "Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere. What are humans that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control." First, the someone referenced in this text who testified was David. The quote comes from Psalm 8, where David wanders over the glorious night sky, attributing it all to God's majesty displayed in creation. And yet at the same time, he marveled at God's love for humanity and God's trust in humanity by placing all of creation under their care, that is, under our care. Why would our Creator trust us, one of His creations, with such honor? The answer is in the creation story. When God spoke us to existence, saying, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." We aren't like any other creature. We are created in our Creator's likeness. You see, our potential precedes us. However, do we take ownership of this reality? To be the glory of God, first we confess we are created in God's glorious image. Now I'm asking, can we say it and mean it? I really want us to repeat these words on the slide with me. Would you please repeat these words on the slide? We confess we are created in God's glorious image. Now let's do that again with a little more passion, please. We confess we are created in God's glorious image. This is something we should repeat to ourselves over and over again until we are shaped by it. Or should I say, reshaped by it? Sure, it is documented that God spoke humanity into existence in Genesis chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. However, by the time we get to chapter 3, see, humanity's image is tainted or skewed from its original glorious image. The Hebrews writer was aware of this truth, noting, "As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them." Now, we don't know how much time transpired before we didn't live up to the image of God's likeness. But it was clear we were unable to fulfill our purpose. Why? Well, in the purity of love, we were created with free will to freely choose to love God, others, self, and creation in the likeness of God. But we chose differently. To become the glory of the Lord, we must take ownership of this truth as well. It says, we confess, we glorified ourselves as if we were God ourselves. So, I'm going to ask you again, with heartfelt repentance in your voice, share this confession with me. We confess we glorified ourselves as if we were God. Repentance is a means of getting us back on track. It is a conscious decision to turn from our glory to God's glory. The problem, however, is that our understanding of the real image of God was also skewed when we chose to glorify ourselves. God did not give up on us and intervened by inspiring prophets to speak on God's behalf, to reshape our vision, providing commandments and laws to live by. But we continue to fall short of the glory of God. The word of God spoken through the prophets wasn't sufficient to restore what had been lost. The author of Hebrews reminded us the prophets of old, well, they didn't have the last word, writing, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, who He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He made purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Before the fall of humanity, there was no need for a plan of salvation. However, ever since the fall, God has executed His plan of salvation. When the author used the words, "in these last days," they referenced the culmination of salvation history, meaning the last word regarding salvation had been spoken, and the word is Jesus Christ, revealed as God's Son, fully divine and fully human. He is not just another prophet, or a priest, or a king, or an angel. He is creator, redeemer, sustainer in His divinity, and heir of all things, placed under His rule in His humanity. He is the true image of God that we were created to be. To become the glory of the Lord, we confess Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's glory in the flesh. Do you grasp the weight of this confession? God didn't only choose to create us, but chose to become one of us for the purpose of our salvation. The Word of God written into law can't and didn't save us, but the Word made flesh can and does. So again, I invite you to say this confession with me with confident faith. We confess Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's glory in the flesh. We may not be able to fully understand or articulate why God had to become one of us to save us, but I believe the root of Jesus' coming is to restore humanity's image to its original glorious perfection. The author of Hebrews described it like this: "We do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and the ones who are sanctified all have one Father. And it's for this reason Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you.'" So it is clear, humanity, left to their own ways, did not live out their role to glorify God. However, Jesus did, all the way to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, didn't only take on flesh. He took upon Himself death for all of us to save us from eternal death. This amplifies, at least it does for me, the character of God for us, expressing the lengths to which the Lord has gone to redeem our character through His sacrifice. You see, the Lord is our sanctifier in that Jesus is the one who makes us holy, restoring our image and His likeness through the work of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And as the incarnate Son of God, He also became our brother in the flesh, reconciling us with our Father in heaven, making us one with Himself and with the Father, also in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did God our Father do all this for us? To bring many children to glory. In Christ, our potential is realized. To be the glory of God, we confess that in Christ, the glory of God is in us. If the glory is in us, then there's nothing but ourselves keeping it from shining. So let's confess this truth together and start living it. Join me. We confess in Christ, the glory of God is in us. Friends, we glorify God by reflecting the image of Christ to the world. So let's become God's glory, confessing we are created in God's glorious image, repenting our pursuit of self-glory, accepting Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and image restorer, and reflect the glory of Christ that is already in us. So may the unity we have in Christ, along with our brothers and sisters across the world, make Christ real to those that are around us as we live our life that reflects this prayer of praise, which is called the Glory Be Praise. It says, Glory be to God the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So, friends, we come to the Lord's table with all those across the globe. Put that image in your mind and think about the billions of people that gather to worship and gather around this table, which has become so important to our faith. But we have to come to the table, and Christ will meet us here. So as we have already confessed, we understand that we have fallen short of the glory of God. So let us just take a moment and just to confess that once again to ourselves and to the Lord, recognizing where we are and how we come to the table today. So here are the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. Because it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we are healed, that we are forgiven, that we are restored in the image of God. Amen. So it is right for us to give thanks and praise for all that we do as we gather around the table. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name, O God, because you are holy, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. It's by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection. And, oh God, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery and sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. That's when Jesus came and gathered around the table. That's why it's the Lord's table. He is the one that invites us to the table, and he's the one who changed the dynamics of this table so that we would be able to join him in his presence with us when we come to join him. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, and in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. It was on the night in which he gave himself up for us that he took bread and he gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. To Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. As it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You see, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread we break is sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The Lord's table is set, and as we are here in the United Methodist Church, we open the table to everyone. Everyone is welcome to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and to be able to receive him. At this time, I will invite those who I've asked to serve today would come forward. We're going to be receiving the elements up front. You'll be served. And if you take you'll be given a piece of bread and a cup. And if you want, you can kneel as you take the elements, or you can take them back with you and eat them, or you can eat them as you walk, however you feel best. would like to give the bread? Go on, step down soon. We'll begin at the front, I guess. Come forward. Let us pray. Amazing God, you are the God of all the globe. You invited us all to your table and you met us today. You go with us every day. Let us understand your presence in our lives and may we live it out each and every day, the image that you create in us, and to share it with the world. Amen.
Would you please stand for our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation? You'll find it in your hymnal, page 529, verses 1 through 4.
We have been created in the glorious image of God. May we accept that and understand that that is our potential. So let us be the those that shine the glory of God to the world. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.